This is the Game Back Hotline for September 28th, 2006. Special interview edition with Sherry Grainer-Ray, a chairperson for the Women in Games International.
So, you're interested in beating those video games. You want your quarters to go farther. Well, sit back and listen carefully. The secrets, techniques, and skills to master the play and to extend your playing time on all the latest and most popular video games are contained in this album. The author,
Game Addict Heartline,
is an Atari Champion finalist. On this record,
Game Addict Heartline
reveals the strategies and tips which helped to make him one of the most skilled players in America. So listen well and learn from him how you too can become a skilled player, have hours of fun, and conquer the video craze. Good luck!
Welcome to the Game Act Hotline. Please turn your video games down and this podcast up. We are your only source for video game news, video game releases, and today, a video game interview. So glad you guys can be here. My name is Luke. Well, this is a special interview that I had when I was at the Women in Gaming International conference. It was a really cool conference because I got to talk to all the different people, especially women in the gaming industry, and get to talk to them about what they felt were some of the problems in gaming, and also talk to them and find out how women in the game industry feel about things. It's pretty interesting. I got to see all the women and talk to them and see the different aspects of what they're doing and just talk about why women are treated differently than other gamers. So what I did, I went ahead and I went there and I checked out and talked to a lot of people, and I actually got a chance to talk to my guest, Sherry Grainer-Ray, for a while about the whole thing and talk to her about why we have these stereotypes of women in gaming, and also talk to her about some other things about the Women in Gaming Conference. So I'll go ahead without further ado, let you listen to this interview, and I'll come back with some parting note. So I'm here with Sherry Grainer-Ray. She's a game designer and a developer. Is there any certain company that you're working with right now, or are you just doing
it? I'm currently doing Serious Games.
So working with Serious Games.
I'm doing Serious Games work, yes.
So you're also the executive chair of the Women in Gaming International.
Yes, I am. One of the co-founders.
Can you explain to people who don't know what that is, what the whole purpose of the
Women in Games International is an organization that was put together to give women an opportunity to come together with other women in the industry, give them networking, a place to network and talk and meet. Also an opportunity for us to raise awareness for issues that are of concern for women in this industry.
And one of the things that you guys were talking about this week, today was actually,
quality of life.
Quality of life. Why do you think that's a bigger problem today than it has been in recent years?
Oh, it's always been a problem. It's not a bigger problem today, only in that we've got more people in the game industry. It's always been a very serious problem. It's interesting because it is a problem that does seem to affect women in different ways than it does men. Because we know that women have less leisure time than men do. Anytime we do anything that takes away from their leisure time, infringing on their, with having work hours infringe upon leisure time and all that, it affects them stronger than it does men. We also have the incident where women are still the primary caregivers for children, so you end up with situations where women become pregnant and leave the industry, and this is such a fast-moving industry that there's no on-ramps for them to come back in. So the whole quality of life thing is a very serious issue for women in this industry. That's why we chose it for a topic for this conference.
Do you think with the So these topics that we talked about today, that there'll be more talk about it with other parts of the industry, especially larger areas?
Absolutely. That's absolutely our goal. Our goal is to bring it to the forefront and keep it on people's minds and keep it something that the companies address.
Do you think that women in gaming are placed into their own group? I know certainly when we talk about girl games, it's certainly sometimes either a Barbie game or a Bratz game or some kind of Fisher-Price game.
Isn't that sad?
And it is sad. Do you think that they've placed them in their own in a huge, a big enough niche market that it's hard for
them to get out.
Are you talking about women who actually work for the industry, or the actual titles that are made for women?
The actual titles that are made for women.
We had a problem with that. What we had happen is the industry started off back in the early 90s saying girls don't play games, and we don't need to make games. We pay attention to our female market because they don't play games anyway. And then Barbie came out, sold 600,000 units right off the bat, and suddenly the industry went, ooh, I got to have some of that. And so they went out and all decided to make Barbie clones. They discovered a very safe rule, which is only Barbie can be Barbie. No one else can be Barbie. Anybody else who tries to be Barbie is going to fail. And so their games didn't do any well. Their Barbie clones and Barbie knockoffs didn't do well. And consequently, they quit making them. And they said, see, we told you girls don't play these games. We girls don't play games at all. And what actually happened is they took an entire market of women and redefined them as a genre of fashion, shopping, and makeup for girls ages 6 to 10. In other words, they said, all women play Barbie, which is a little like saying all Japanese people play flight sims. You know, it's kind of silly. You can't say a whole market of people will play only one game. But the game industry did. And they did decide that Barbie defined all women, all women's games were redefined as Barbie. And that was kind of a silly thing to do, and consequently, it didn't do very well. And the industry turned its back on the women gamers. That's now turning around today, as we see that casual games are one of the big focuses of the game industry today, and we know that 70% of casual game players are women. So fortunately, we're starting to see that attitude turn around today.
So who do you think is to blame mostly for all of this? Is it mostly the developers or the publishers or?
I'm loath to worry about place blame on anybody in particular. I'm more concerned about where we can go going forward with this. How can we learn from what happened, and how can we go forward? Well, who's to blame doesn't change the fact that it happened, and it doesn't matter. Now we go forward from here.
So what do you think are things that are helping in the growth of women, not only in gaming, but also the ability to get women playing games?
Casual games.
Mostly casual games?
Absolutely. Casual games are a terrific gateway into the game industry and into games in general. The fact that the game industry is now starting to take the casual game market seriously is a very big positive step towards not just women, but diverse players in general, anything outside of that traditional market.
Do you also think the DS Lite, it's more the games are not based on just the demographic of guys, that it actually is more trying to be for everybody, that's also helping in creating
sure.
the industry.
Sure, absolutely. Anytime the publishers start stepping outside their traditional market, it's good for everybody.
So you keep talking about diversity. Why isn't diversity talked about as much as other businesses done in gaming?
Because the game industry is not as grown up yet as the traditional industries outside, you know, traditional technical industries. The game industry is just learning. And, you know, frankly, up until just, you know, a few years ago, the game industry really didn't, it was successful. It didn't have to worry about diversity. It didn't have to worry. It was selling really well and making good money. Why did they have to change any of that? They're now beginning to realize that if they want to continue to grow, they've got to look at outside markets. And so they're starting to come around to it. The industry's growing up. They're going to grow up, and they're going to do these things.
Now, there's a lot of women that are thinking about becoming game developers or even getting into the computer sciences. What are some of the things that you would tell them if they wanted to start to get into the industry?
I tell them never give up and never surrender. No, I do. It's a matter of setting your sights on what you want to do, and don't ever let fear or anything else stand in your way. Go for it. Go do what you want to do, because there's no reason why you can't. We do have the issue that we do have to let women know that the game industry is there and viable and certainly a place where you can go and have a good career and make good money and all that. And that's part of also what Women in Games International strives to do, is we are striving to do outreach to raise up the awareness of the games industry as a possible good place for women to come to work. But if a woman has decided that she does want to come here, build your networks, get out there, get seen, and stick to it, and never give up on the dream, because you can do it.
And you're talking a lot about networking today. That's actually one of the things that one of the people said, that something that the women in the gaming industry need to do a lot more of.
Yep, absolutely.
Is that something very important that
of course.
People should start
learning? Absolutely. You've got to. You can't ever achieve a dream by sitting home on your butt and wishing it were true. You got to get out and do something. Join the IGDA. Get active in your local IGDA chapter. Start attending the meetings. Volunteer to help. Get out there. Get your face seen. Let the people get to know you. Let them see that you're interested and active and willing to work. That's absolutely where it's about. It's where it starts.
All right. Well, thank you so much for letting me talk to you.
Sure. Thanks for talking.
So that was the interview. I really learned a lot from the Women in Gaming Conference. I felt like I've learned a lot more about the industry and a lot more about how the industry works and some of the things that are plaguing the industry, especially with quality of life. I've seen that, especially with the EA Spouse incident, that the quality of life has always been a very difficult thing. In fact, I know that a lot of people wouldn't like to work 80-hour weeks for months on end. And they talked about how, you know, that's mostly the problems of the people who are setting up the time for the game. So I thought that was a pretty interesting part of one of the things I listened to with all the hosts. So this one was in Seattle. The next one will be right before the Game Developers Conference. So if you guys are going down to the Game Developers Conference, if you have some time, go ahead and go to the Women in Gaming International Conference and check out some of the things that the women in gaming are looking at and get a different aspect about what the gaming industry is with them. But that's going to be it for this show. I wanted you guys to go ahead and you can email me at gameaddicthotline@gmail.com. You can call us at our phone number at 206-202-4367. Or you can go ahead and you can go to our website and leave a comment. That's at www.gameaddicthotline.com. You can also go ahead and subscribe to us through iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, or Podnova. You can become friends with us at Podcast Pickle, or you can go ahead and vote for us at Podcast Alley. But that's going to be it for today. You guys, thank you for listening. We'll go ahead and we'll have another interview coming up soon and another cross-platform episode. So until then, you guys, turn your video games back up and have a good day. Me.